stick with me, but are Manchester United actually getting better?
The idea that they're getting better is probably correct. It's just that everyone expects better to equal good, and they're not there yet. They're not good. They're okay.
Oh, Rangers getting worse.
5 league matches without a win at the start of the season for the first time since 1978.
And how many Tourams is too many Tourams?
His big brother scored for Inter. And now the kid, Kefren, makes it 3 each in Turin.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh and welcome to Route 1. It's football, fast, no faff. It's stories from all over the world. Let's go Route 1. Well, I think it's fair to say that Liverpool have discovered the secret of Fergie time. For the fourth league game in a row, they snatched a winner in the closing stages, this time away at Burnley through a Mo Salah penalty. Now, they are far from their groove. They could very easily be in the bottom half with 4 draws from 4. But they are passing through their transitional phase, picking up maximum points along the way. What on earth are they going to do to people when they settle? Arsenal looked pretty settled on Saturday when they blew Nottingham Forest away at the Emirates. Martin Zubimendi made a strong play for the Goal of the Month trophy. Ange Postecoglou has a very big job on his hands. Spurs are third after taking full advantage of West Ham's mark them by not marking them set-piece policy. The Hammers have conceded 11 goals in 4 games, and if you were watching them for the first time this weekend, well, now you know why. Bournemouth. How are Bournemouth doing this? They beat Brighton 2-1 for their third victory of the season, and they are fourth. Fourth after selling half of their defence. The next big European job to go belongs to Andoni Iraola. But if one doesn't go, they could finish in the top 6. Chelsea are fifth. They could have been higher had they not shipped a late equaliser to Brentford, a lovely long throw to kick off a week of Why Are Long Throws So Effective articles. Everton are sixth and very unfortunate not to have beaten Aston Villa, who still haven't scored a single goal this season and are currently 19th. Sunderland are seventh after they drew with Crystal Palace, who are ninth. Newcastle won their first game of the season, Nick Voltamade scoring the winner against Wolves, who are bottom. Didn't actually look that bad at St James's Park, might just be due a bit of luck. Speaking of luck, poor old Gabriel Goodmanson scored the winner for Fulham on Saturday, which is unfortunate because he plays for Leeds. Good old-fashioned brain fart of an own goal there. And yes, there was a Manchester derby, and no, it did not go well for United. They were beaten 3-0. Erling Haaland went into full John Charles mode and became a world-class centre-forward and a world-class centre-back at the same time. Now there's a reference for our Gen Z listeners. Anyway, after the game, Ruben Amorim was again questioned on his devotion to that 3-4-2-1 formation, and he insisted that United were actually playing better. "I see that we're doing better," he said, "but the results don't show that. Last year, we played against City with my former club, Sporting. We won 4-1, but we didn't have anything near to the opportunities or the way we controlled the game compared to today. It's hard. And the record says everything. I understand." Now, has he got a point? Ted Knutsen is the founder of StatsBomb. He runs the brilliant Transfer Flow newsletter, pretty much the only newsletter I actually read every time. And he brings precisely the kind of cold-hearted objectivity we need right now. Ted, is Amorim right? Are they actually getting better?
So United have started against 2 of the top 3 last season, plus a stingy mid-table side in Fulham and a promoted team in Burnley. And they do look better. Minus Luke Shaw, who strapped on ice skates instead of boots, there are elements of competence about the squad that really didn't seem to exist last season. Also, they're not entirely dull. The area I see improvement is mostly in the attack. Almost every metric that we look at has improved dramatically year over year. And you kind of hope so, given the amount of money they spent trying to improve it. But the problem is now a defensive one. Much like United's general status, they are not a tactical, coherent whole. The defense is riddled with holes, both from a personnel perspective and on the pitch. I think Amorim is probably a bit crazy persisting with his tactical ideals, but the idea that they're getting better is probably correct. It's just that everyone expects better to equal good, and they're not there yet. They're not good. They're okay. This is still a multi-year rebuilding project, and anyone who suggests otherwise in the media, including the rafts of ex-United players, are fooling themselves. Like, you're going to have to be patient. You don't go from 15th and many, many years of being bad into being a Champions League team. It's not there. The Premier League is too hard now.
Go to www.thetransferflow and get yourself signed up to Ted's newsletter. It is absolutely excellent. Also, one final note on United. Their negative XG differential, stick with me, is the largest in the big five leagues. According to the data, they should have scored almost six more goals than they actually have. So, I don't know, maybe Ruben has a bit of a point. Real Madrid are 4 from 4, but only just. Xabi Alonso's side took an early lead against Real Sociedad through Kylian Mbappe, but then lost new signing Dean Huijsen, like the duck, to a first-half red card. They went 2-0 up through Arda Güler, but were pegged back to 2-1 before just about hanging on for a tense finish. Barcelona had a very good day. They beat Valencia 6-0 with braces each for Fermin Lopez, Rafinha and Robert Lewandowski. And Atletico Madrid finally won a game. They beat Villarreal 2-0 at home to sighs of relief all round. It was a bad weekend for Athletic Club, though. They were beaten 1-0 at home by Alaves, losing their 100% record in the process. And spare a thought for Girona, top three 2 years ago, Champions League last year, bottom of La Liga now, just 1 point from four. Could Hamburg shock Bayern Munich? We asked Seb Staffer-Blaw last weekend, and bless him, he didn't laugh, but he did scoff a bit, and rightly so, because Bayern won 5-0 with another two goals for Harry Kane. Borussia Dortmund are second, they beat Heidenheim 2-0, and there were extraordinary scenes in Wolfsburg, where a 91st-minute equaliser appeared to give Cologne a late point, a 99th-minute strike appeared to give Wolfsburg a very late winner, and then a 104th-minute strike by Jakub Kaminski meant it was in fact a draw after all. And what a Bayer Leverkusen under new manager Kasper Holmand. They found it easier to play with 9 men than with 10 Hag, as they beat Eintracht Frankfurt 3-1 despite 2 red cards. It's never dull over there. Tremendous Saturday evening entertainment in Turin. Juventus came from 3-2 down at home against Inter to beat them 4-3. Goals from both Turam brothers there, one on each side, with Turam Senior watching on. Juve are 3 from 3. So too are Napoli. They beat Fiorentina 3-1 with a goal from Manchester United escapee Rasmus Højlund. It's happening again. There was a bit of a surprise in the capital where Torino beat Roma 1-0 with a goal from one of the many mini Simeones. This was the Giovanni one. And Luka Modric scored the winner for AC Milan in their 1-0 win over Bologna just days after his 40th birthday. 2 goals from Bradley Barcola continued Paris Saint-Germain's 100% run in Ligue 1. They swept past Lens on Sunday. Lille are now their closest rivals. They beat Toulouse 2-1 with a 98th-minute winner from one Ethan Mbappe. Lyon were PSG's closest rivals, and they were 1-0 up at Rennes with 10 minutes to go. Somehow, they managed to lose 3-1. On Friday night, Ipswich applied the coup de grace to Ruben Sellers' brief Sheffield United career. The Tractor Boys ran out 5-0 winners. The Blades board did the deed on Sunday, and now it looks like Chris Wilder's coming back. Middlesbrough were finally stopped. They were held 1-1 at Preston. West Brom were beaten for the first time at home to Derby. So it was a great day for Mark Robins Stoke, who beat big-spending Birmingham. And speaking of big spenders, we told you to keep an eye out for Wrexham. They lost 3-1 at home to QPR. They are 21st, and the people who tipped them for a fourth successive promotion gone awfully quiet. In Scotland, Rangers ended the weekend in 10th position after losing 2-0 at home to Hearts. This is their worst start of the season since 1978. It is possible to feel a smidge of sympathy for the first goal, which even scorer Lawrence Shanklin thought was handball.
But certainly Shanklin seemed to think it would be coming back. Yes. Goal's given!
Goal given?
Yes!
They say that the league table doesn't lie, and it makes for very uncomfortable reading right now for Russell Martin. 5 games played by Rangers, 4 points on the board, a negative goal difference, and Rangers sitting 10th in the standings. By the time they take to the field against Livingston in a fortnight, they could be bottom of the league. A situation that is unsustainable, unacceptable, and the Rangers fans clearly believe that Russell Martin is no longer the man to take this club forward. Those doubts have been there since Russell's name was first linked with the job. He has admitted himself, he knows himself, that he was not a universally popular appointment, but the fans would have got behind him, they would have given him their backing. If there was anything to suggest that he was going to take this club forward, the performances have not been there, the results have not been there. The defeat to Club Brugge in the Champions League was a huge night that he did very well to survive, in all honesty. And it's hard to see how he's able to turn this situation around now. The reaction at Ibrox on Saturday was as bad as I've ever seen it. Now, this is worse than the dark days of Pedro Caixinha. It's not comparable to the final days of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Michael Beale, Philippe Clement. This was a Rangers manager who has completely lost the faith, lost any backing of the home crowd. He was booed during the game, he was booed after the game. He was even booed as he made his way out onto the technical area for the start of the second half. So it's very hard to see how Russell comes back from this at all. Rangers have spent an awful lot of money on this squad. They should be doing better, the results should be better. But it's hard to see how that improvement comes unless there is change in the dugout, first and foremost.
Hearts, for their part, remain unbeaten in second behind Celtic, only on goal difference, after a contentious penalty helped Brendan Rodgers' side beat Kilmarnock 2-1. Now, you don't hear this very often. Manchester United are top of the table. It's the WSL table. They crushed London City Lionesses 5-1. That's 9 goals shipped by the big spenders now in their first two games. Champions Chelsea beat Aston Villa 3-1. Arsenal went to West Ham and beat them 5-1. And Man City beat Brighton 2-1. It's going to be a busy week this week. We've got the first round of Champions League group games on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Before we get there, we've got a smattering of Monday games. Espanyol play Mallorca. You can watch that on Premier Sports. Jamie Vardy might make his debut for Cremonese away at Hellas Verona. That's on DAZN. And Como could go fourth tonight if they beat Genoa. That is also on DAZN. Thank you so much for all of your support. I'm going to let you into an industry secret. Every international break is a killer for audience numbers. My old show, The Daily Football Briefing, used to shed as much as 20% of its audience over the international break. Very dispiriting. Route 1 went up 10% last week, so huge thanks to anyone who's been spreading the word, especially you, Mitchell A, for your lovely review on Apple. We are now available on YouTube, YouTube Shorts, Insta, TikTok, as well as Twitter, not calling it X, and Blue Sky. Plus, I occasionally post on LinkedIn, so you can find us in all of those places. And thank you for doing so in such overwhelming numbers. That was Route 1. It was football fast, no faff. If you enjoyed it, please make sure you give it a follow. And if you really enjoyed it, please give us a review as well. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your audio producer was Helena Fremantle. Your video editor was Dean Thrussell. Your video producer was Sean Nicholas. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. And Lola Katz-Roberts and Sophie Manners were on website and social.